For all the saints who from their labors rest, all who by faith before the world confessed your name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. All Saints Sunday tomorrow, All Saints Day yesterday, and tonight we celebrate God's gift of being sanctified. Well, we may be Simul Justus et Peccator, sinner and saint at the same time, but don't forget, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, that from the foundation of the world, God already determined that you were going to be one of his holy ones. And God, who begins a good work in you, is going to bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the holy ones of God. God has justified you through the blood of Christ and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is making you holy. Holy people who are performing holy works in the name of Jesus in daily life. I want to tell you a story. It's about a truck driver who had had a very long day. He was in Broken Bow, Nebraska. It was an all-night truck stop. He decided to take a little break to stretch, use the bathroom, sit and get a bite to eat. Ordered a hamburger, fries, coffee. He was just about to enjoy his meal when there were three motorcycle guys, kind of the, you know, Hell's Angel type, that came in with their leather garb and stuff like that. They came over by the table where he was sitting, and one of those guys, I call them thugs, right? They grab this hamburger, one of them, and starts eating it and smiling at the guy. And then the other one grabs a fistful of his French fries and starts eating them and says, "Man, these taste good. Thanks for sharing." And the third one grabs his cup of coffee and starts drinking from it. Now, what would you do? What would your response be? The truck driver got up, didn't say a word, went over to the counter and paid for the food that he didn't even get a chance to eat and enjoy. And then he went out to his truck. The waitress came back to the table to kind of clean up the mess and stuff. And one of the motorcycle guys looks at the waitress and says, "Not much of a man, huh?" And she said, "I don't know about that." She said, "But he's not much of a truck driver either. Going out the parking lot, he just ran over three motorcycles." Justice, huh? Reciprocity. What goes around comes around. Retribution. We know how the world works. Those are the ethics that we live by and practice. It's the survival of the fittest. Well, maybe there's another response to how the world chooses to behave. And God's response is the communion of saints, the priesthood of believers, the baptized, the disciples of Jesus who become the apostles, the sent out ones. Maybe there's another way of responding when someone is wicked and evil and hateful to us. Jesus has what's called the golden rule, but he has what's called the rules of how saints live. Not because, don't get this wrong, not because by performing those rules we somehow earn the status of being saints. Being a saint is a gift of God. I mean, the scriptures are very clear that our justification and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption, it's all the grace of God. The Holy Spirit not only works faith in us, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and keeps us in true faith. Martin Luther, meaning to the third article of the Creed. So these are performative ethics. The Holy Spirit is performing the words of Christ, these promising words in your life. So Jesus can say, "This is the way the kingdom of God is going to work." Saints love their enemies. Saints, bless those who curse them. Saints, pray for those who abuse them. That's what saints do. They turn the other cheek. If someone wants to borrow something, they say, what else you need in my house? What's mine is yours. Take it. And you don't have to return it. As you would have others do to you, do unto others. Well, I know there was Rabbi Hillel about 20 years before Jesus, and he had what you don't want somebody else to do to you, don't do to somebody else. But Jesus, he flips it. And he said, no, this is about doing the kingdom. This is about practicing the ethics of God. And following our gospel for tonight, you get these beautiful words. The saints are the holy ones. They are children of the Most High. That's what St. Luke says. The words of Jesus, you are children of the Most High. For God is good to those who are ungrateful, and God is good to those who are wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. You see what Jesus is saying? It's like father like son. Or as a woman once told me, I am my mother's daughter after all. Right? A chip off the old block. Practicing the proclamation of Jesus in daily life. That's what saints do. Not because we can earn our status with God, not because we can work our way up into holiness, but because God has decided in advance, that's who you are. You're his chosen one, the word that Calo used, his predestined ones. From the foundation of the world, God said, you're going to be saved. You're going to be holy. And you're going to live by a different set of rules. Yeah, a different set of rules in daily life. Let me give you an example. There's a woman, a Christian lady, 2 prize 10s. But she didn't always keep tabs on them, kind of let them roam and run around like they wanted to. But 2 prize 10s that laid lots of beautiful eggs. But one day, they kind of got out of their run, and they were over in the neighbor's. The neighbor didn't like it. The neighbor was a grouchy sort of a guy, and they were pecking away in his garden, and he'd had enough of this incivility. Grabbed those 2 hens, wrung their necks, and threw them over the fence to the neighbor lady. And when the little kid saw, went in, Mom! She went out and saw her 2 prize 10s laying there with their necks wrung off, and she began to weep. What do you do? How do you respond to that? She dressed out those 2 hens, and she made chicken pies. You know, those chicken pot pies and stuff? And then she took one over to the neighbor. And she said, I'm sorry for not keeping a better watch on my hens and for them coming on your property. And I made you one of these pies as an offering. That neighbor was shamed to his knees. And he apologized and he said, I'm so sorry for overreacting like I did. What I did was wrong. You've heard the phrase, kill him with kindness? I mean, that's from the Bible, you know. I mean, not in a lethal way, but Jesus says that when you love your enemies, when you do good to those who hate you, it's like putting burning coals on the head or in the heart, you know, in the lap of somebody who is your enemy. I mean, it's going to kill them. Jesus knows that. The last thing anybody wants is to have a saint being kind to them and not giving people what they deserve, you know? Our gospel reading for tonight is called the Sermon on a Level Plain. I like that because, you know, in Matthew, it's the Sermon on the Mountain. And there's a mountain in this story, too. It's right before our text. Jesus has, well, he's been breaking the rules. He's been plucking grain on the Sabbath, and that's work. And he's been healing people on the Sabbath, and that's work. And the good rulers, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, all those rulers that are guardians of the rules They're upset. In fact, it says prior to our text for today in Luke 6, it says they all get together and consult, what are we going to do with this guy? Literally, what are we going to do to this guy? We got to do something to him. And how does Jesus respond to this? This animosity, this hatred, this ridicule? He goes up on the mountain with his disciples. He spent the whole night in prayer. Huh? What an idea. When people have done their worst to us, that we go to the knees and we just spend a lot of time in prayer. And this is how he responds. He looks at all of his disciples and he picks 12 of them. And then he names them apostles, which means they're going to be sent out into hostile territory where people are not going to like them, where people are going to want to do to them not exactly kind things. And then he comes down from the mountain and he's on a level plain. I think that's intentional in Luke's gospel. I've been over there, the Mount of Beatitudes, and right beside it is the plain of Gennesaret, where he did the Sermon on the Plain. It's where Jesus is leveling with us. It's where Jesus is leveling us. Right? You see? It's a plain sermon, but there's nothing ordinary about it. You see? The Sermon on the Plain. It's got to do business with us. Blessed are you poor. Blessed are you hungry. Blessed are you who are weeping and mourning. Blessed are people when people persecute you and they ridicule you and they defame you, all because of the Son of Man, by bearing witness to his name. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. That's what they've done with the prophets. That's what they've done with everybody throughout history that has carried the name of God. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. You've already had your consolation. You're going to be empty. Woe to you who are laughing and rejoicing now. You're going to be weeping up a storm. I mean, there's four blessings and there's four woes. And the way they're structured is just beautiful. Present tense, future tense, future tense, present tense. Present tense, future tense, future tense, present tense. In the here and now and in the future. These are performative ethics. This is the way it's going to be. Well, yeah. I mean, if you keep turning the other cheek, if you keep loving your enemies, if you keep praying for the people that hate you and doing good to them, if somebody wants to borrow something and you open up your whole house and say, take what you need, it's all yours, you think you're going to be without food, you're going to be without shelter, you're going to be hungry, you're going to be poor, duh, and you're only going to have one thing in the world to rely upon, Jesus. And he'll be enough. He'll be more than enough. Because with Jesus, your reward is great in heaven. You're children of the Most High. The Father does good to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. I don't know about you, but I've been living with this text all week long. I don't know what's a blessing and I don't know what is a curse anymore. I don't. I mean, in the short term, we think we know. I've had people tell me when I lost the job, when I didn't get a call, when something happened down the road, they look back and they say, thank you, Jesus. That would have been the worst thing in my life. We got a house. That's a blessing, right? It's got an underground sprinkler system. That's a blessing, right? That cotton picking lawn is so thick that when Leroy came over with the mower, I mean, crying out loud, try to mow that stuff. I mean, we bought a mower, right? That's a blessing. But it wasn't self-propelled. It just about killed me. You know, you can't mow the stuff because it's so thick and they put so much fertilizer on it, huh? You tell me what's a blessing and what's a curse. And here's another thing we can't miss in our gospel for tonight. When we hear it, it's often, or it's easy for us to say, well, blessed are you when your little three-year-old is run over by a tractor. Blessed are you when your wife is diagnosed with terminal cancer. Blessed are you when you're unemployed. Blessed are you when you're hauled off in an ambulance. Blessed are you when your house is being foreclosed. Woe to you when you win the lottery. Woe to you when you get a promotion. Woe to you when your firstborn is getting married and you're going to have a wedding party. Woe to you. And you're kind of going, what? This doesn't make any sense. Well, here's what I think that Jesus doesn't want us to miss. Nowhere in our gospel does it say that cancer is a blessing, or that losing a child or a loved one is a blessing. But the one who is battling cancer is blessed, is not forsaken by God. God is always faithful. You see, there's a difference between talking about our circumstances, which may or may not, in the short term or the long term, be blessings or curses. Talk to somebody who's won a lottery. There's a couple in Nova Scotia. In July of 2010, they won $11.3 million in a lottery. And they started getting calls from everybody under the sun. People asking for help. I mean, they lived in a small town, and suddenly their nice, quiet, good life, they'd been married for 35 years, was all disrupted and in turmoil, and the wife was battling cancer at the time. You know what the husband and wife did? They gave all of it but 2% away. They just kept 2% for a rainy day fund, and they gave it to hospitals, and they gave it to churches, and they gave it to the fire department and the Red Cross, etc. They said, you don't miss what you never had. For us, we've got each other, and we got our faith in the Lord, and that's always been enough. And all of this extra stuff, people would say is a blessing, has just become a big problem. Blessed are you. I just started getting the post-bulletin yesterday. How many of you get that newspaper? Some of you get it? Okay. Maybe you don't read it. Maybe your spouse does. But I got it so that I can keep up on what's happening in the community. There's a really good article in there in today's paper on the religion part. It's written by a pastor of a new church plant in Rochester in the pulpit section. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's really good. I think he's a pastor of Emmanuel or something like that. And anyway, in the paper yesterday, there's a woman named Kristen, and the article was called, what's that called? Dave. I can't think of the name of the article that Kristen had written. It'll come to me. Let me tell you the story, and that'll come to me. Kristen is the mother of 5 kids. Her youngest is 5 weeks old, little Jacob, and then she's got Sam, who is 5 years old. So those are the two at home. And in the last couple weeks, she's noticed that little Jacob has a rash. And so she thought, well, I better watch this. And then it just got worse and worse. And she doesn't want to be a hypochondriac, she says in her article, but she finally thought, I got to call the doctor. She made an appointment a week ago Friday, took her little 5-week-old in to see the doctor. Doctor immediately saw him and said, he needs to see a specialist, a dermatologist, pediatrician. And so he said, let me make a phone call. Made a phone call, was able to get her in about 2 hours later. So she had to kill a little bit of time, you know, but she thought, wow, you know, I was able to get in today. And the article was called Random Acts of Kindness. There you go. Random acts of kindness sometimes, you know, can make a difference type thing. So here she is. She's got to kill a couple of hours, right? And she's driving around, and the little 5-year-old Sam, three-year-old, Sam is only 3. The little 3-year-old Sam falls asleep. And then she gets in the parking ramp of where the medical facility is here in Rochester and has to go up in the elevator. So here she's got a 3-year-old Sam, and she's got a 5-week-old little Jacob. And Sam's sound asleep, so she said, I put the diaper bag over my shoulder, and I grabbed my 3-year-old and threw him over my shoulder, and then I grabbed the car seat with the other hand because it had little 5-week-old Micah in it. And I'm walking, she says, toward the elevator for the appointment, right? And she said, one stranger looks at her and says, wow, what a load. Another stranger looks at her and says, yo, you go, girl. And then a third stranger, turns out that she was a lab technician there. She said, can I help you? So she took the little car seat and carried little Micah, and they went into the elevator together, and they went to the floor, and then as Kristen was checking in and then helped her find a spot, you know, in the lobby and the waiting room and stuff like that. And then she got in right away, and the pediatrician saw her, and she said, and the pediatrician was like, I was the only person on her schedule that whole day. She had all kinds of time and took really good care of my little 5-week-old and took some pictures and then gave some cream for this rash. And then she said, I left, and my 3-year-old was still sleeping, so I threw him over my shoulder with the diaper bag and the car seat, you know, with little Jacob. And I'm walking back out to the car, and I'm pretty weary and exhausted. She said, but, you know, I thought, boy, God's been good to me today. You know, and thank you, Lord, for the angels that come our way. And the article is called Random Acts of Kindness Can Make a Big Difference. Well, here's what I want you to hear from this story. Here's my punchline for you, okay, in light of this All Saints Day text. It's not random acts of kindness. Jesus isn't talking about things that just happen, you know, once in a while or here or there. For saints in the kingdom of God, this is deliberate acts of kindness. This is regular, intentional, everyday acts of kindness. Be kind. Do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who abuse you. The one that wants to borrow, give them anything and everything they want. And don't ask for it back. Turn the other cheek. How you want others to do for you, do for them. Or as Christ does for you, go and do likewise. Jesus spoke these words to those who were listening. To those who were listening. Blessed are you, for you are God's saints, the holy ones of Christ, called in the name of Jesus to make a different world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.